This podcast is supported by Washington.org. Washington, D.C. offers visitors so much to explore. Just ask Dayo, who shared her experiences from a recent visit.
What was your favorite food all weekend?
The Ethiopian food at Sihei.
And the first place you would visit again?
The bookstore, Little District Books.
What did you appreciate the most?
Really just like the genuine kindness of everyone that I encountered this weekend.
Why should people visit D.C.?
Well, D.C. is a place with such a thriving culture.
Washington, D.C. has something for everybody. Plan your next trip at Washington.org.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your solo J of music, news, and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonico. I hope listening to Rascal by RMR is putting a smile on your face. It came out a couple weeks ago. It is, as I'm sure you are aware, by a new singer who has a quite incredible video. And it's a trap anthem sung to the tune of Bless the Broken Road, most popularly recorded by Rascal Flatts, originals by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. This song is wild. This is a wild, it's a wild song. It's a wild video. And it puts me in a really happy place. I heard it for the first time when I was in Nashville interviewing Sam Hunt. It came out while I was down there, and it was just like such a perfect time for that record to come out. It blew my mind when I saw the video. I got to watch it with Sam the next day, blew his mind. Anyway, it put me in a really good headspace, and given everything that has been going on in the world, I think we could stand to have a moment of trying to put each other in positive headspaces. And I was trying to think of what kind of episode I wanted to have after the last episode, which talked about the challenges to the live music business and the way the coronavirus is affecting pop music. And I wanted to check in with people. I wanted to talk to people. I wanted to hear people's voices. And I wanted to hear people talk about things that music could do for them and has done for them. So what I decided to do is, we got a whole gang of folks calling in. We're going to run through a murderer's row. Most people have been on podcasts before. We're just going to talk to a lot of folks about what's in their ears, what's in their hearts, how they've been feeling, and we're going to run through. So on this week's episode, in no particular order, Gia Tolentino, Justin Charity, Doreen Sanfelix, Ben Ratliff, Hanif Abdurraqib, Eduardo Cepeda, Chris Ryan, Danielle Smith, Yo Phillips, and you know I'm checking in with Karen Gans. Much like last week, I'm recording this in the home office. Everybody has technical setups of different specifications and qualities, so we're still in Verite Popcast land. Not everything might sound as clean, as ordinary, but Pedro, who is patiently listening to me say this, is going to do his very best to make it as clean as possible. Let's get it cracking. First, let's check in with Danielle Smith. Danielle Smith, DSW. Oh, woo! Danielle.
What's going on, J to the C? What's happening?
I need that sage guidance. I had to call you. I had to check in. I had to tap in.
I'm here, man. I'm here.
I know. Look, if you've listened to podcasts before, you might have heard Danielle previously. You may know that I used to work for Danielle at Vibe back in the day. Also, shout out to Danielle's husband, Elliot Wilson, who I wrote for at XXL in the early to mid-2000s. DSW is working on a book. It's called Shine Bright, A Personal History of Black Women in Popular Music. It will be out next February. Get your Amazon pre-orders up. Amazon may still be selling. They may be selling books again. I know there's some issues with Amazon selling books, not selling books right now. So by then, hopefully, we will be back to, we won't be burning books for fuel, hopefully, and we'll just be back to normal bookselling practices. Danielle, hello. How is California right now?
You know, it's wild because it's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles. Blue skies, just dotted with a few clouds, small breeze. But if you take a walk, as we do daily with the dog, it's pretty quiet out there.
I took a walk earlier today, and it was very few people on the streets, and I found myself, like, ducking and weaving. I felt like Sugar Ray Robinson, you know? Like, I was just like, don't look at me. Don't get close to me. Yeah, you know?
It's awful, man.
It's not my natural state. In times like this, what's your relationship with music? Like, is it an escape? Is it an amplification? What do you turn to it for or turn away from it? Either way.
Yeah, I know. It's so funny because people speak of turning, you know, to music. I just feel like music is always there for me. So I don't, you know what I mean? It's not like I was doing something else and now I'm going to do music. It's like music is pretty much always on, or I'm always thinking about it or working on something about it. So it's like a always humming conversation in the background almost. So I guess I just like to, in these times though, not necessarily listen to music that is like keep on keeping on every little thing. You know what I mean? Or just right. Like, I like to listen to music that just reminds me of good times or happy times.
With me, with songs, if I'm turning to it, if I'm turning to music for some kind of emotional resonance, it has to pinpoint the exact emotional state I am. It's hard for me to listen to something that's like far away from where I already am internally. And so I find myself in moments like this, like, I'm in the anxious parts of my catalog, you know, like I'm the opposite. I'm not in the exuberant parts of my catalog. Like, I'm in the anxious parts. I'm in the stressful parts.
I got to have the exuberance, John, right now, because I'll spiral, man.
Not me too. I feel you though. Like, to me, I can kind of displace some of that into a song and kind of like take it off my shoulders and like put it into the record. Whereas I see what you're saying, where you got to be lifted.
Yeah, I do. And sometimes I just got to have some lyrics. I got to have some lyrics too. I'll impose too much of my own thoughts onto an instrumental. So I got to have some lyrics.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do.
So what is the song that you are going to have the people listen to that you're going to have them check in with?
Well, after I just said that I don't always turn immediately to like Ain't No Stopping Us Now kind of jam, after I just said that, right? I just said that. I'm on the record saying it's not what I do. I listened to my top three today for these times, and the top three for me are definitely Beyonce's Love on Top, because it's just like the happiest song ever. Like, this, what's a happier song than Love on Top?
Nope,
and then I happened to be at, you know what I mean? Like, and I was at the MTV Music Awards when she kind of announced her pregnancy with Blue by tapping her belly. So it's just like life.
Oh, okay. So just flex. You just want to flex.
Weight flex. You just called in to flex.
Okay. That's great.
Called it in from long distance though. It's the thing though. So there's that.
Okay.
There's that one. And then I have to listen to What a Fool Believes. Because that song is genius, always will be genius. It's a feat of songwriting for all time. And I just love it. Makes me happy. I know every word by heart. But the song for me right now is Yes, We Can from the Pointer Sisters from the late 1970s. The song for right now.
That's that energy. That's the energy you need. That's what you need.
You do, man. You do.
I mean, hell, honestly, I know I'm talking all that talk, but I probably need that energy too if I'm going to keep it a book.
Come on, John. It's like, first of all, you know the Pointer Sisters are from Oakland, so that makes it like a perfect song almost anyway. It's like, they're from the hometown, John. Come on, John. They sound like home, man.
You came on to flex about being at the VMAs where Beyonce was pregnant and to talk town business. That's what you came on for.
Town business all the time, though. Town business is all the time, though. It's not even a special occasion.
So,
Pointer Sisters are from Oakland, California, man. And then also, song is produced by Alan Toussaint from New Orleans, which is where one side of my family's from. So that genius of a producer and music man. So it's like, it just sounds like home to me, I think, in addition to just being such a lifting song lyric-wise and melody-wise.
All right, let's go out with some town business. Let's listen to that town business. Here's some Pointer Sisters. DSW, thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
It is always my pleasure. Please stay safe.
Sending love.
Now, calling in from elsewhere in Brooklyn, this is an all Brooklyn section of Popcast, Gia Tolentino, what's really good? Talk to me. What's happening over in your neighborhood?
Oh, you know, just trying to keep the vibes up, you know?
You are vibes captain of your block, if I'm not mistaken, while also being a staff writer at The New Yorker and the author of Trick Mirror. Gia, what's your last few days been like? Like, let's keep it funky.
Well, I work at home normally. So, you know, I was born in this darkness and I think, you know, I mean, my last few days have been pretty chill. I feel like I've been, I don't know, like what else does this time make you think about, but how, if you're lucky, how lucky you are, right? Like I mostly have just been, you know, sitting in my little room thinking about how glad I am that I don't have to deal with childcare or like elder care. Me, I've been chilling, but existentially it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, my 2 days, I'm just sitting at my desk and blogging, you know, like normal.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yes. The internet is the great maw that will be fed regardless of pandemic. And here we are to keep feeding it. I know from our prior conversation that you've had a very specific musical palette for the last few days. You want to talk us through how you arrived at it?
For the last like week, all I've been able to listen to is Christine and the Queens and Carter III.
Okay.
And I don't know why those two, but actually, you know what? I think I do know why. It's because like Christine, it's sort of the vibe is like it's tight and it's loose and it's weightless and it's easy, you know, but it hits hard when it hits. And then Carter III is like, Wayne, he can do anything. We can all do anything.
Yep.
You know, you get such a, it's like, you just get this wallop of like endless ability and energy and versatility. And I think I've been looking for those things, those vibes.
Typically in times of whether it's crisis or challenge, like, what's your relationship with music ordinarily? Do you really lock in with it? Is that kind of a sort of coping mechanism for you?
Yeah, I listen to one song over and over for 4 hours, like every day. A while back, like I would say, like Our Love, the Caribou song is another big one for me. Like I'll listen to that song for 5 hours straight when I am stressed out and need to get it back.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a lot of needing to get it back, unfortunately, in the coming weeks and months. Yeah, no, I feel you. Like I love being able to kind of like deeply absorb into one song. Like if anything, switching between records or switching between artists can be too chaotic for me in an otherwise chaotic time. I find it really, really tough to, you know, music affects my mood so specifically that I can't kind of throw anything to chance. So basically, like the minute I figure out like, oh, it's this musician or it's this record or it's this song, that's it. Like there's no, I don't pivot off that.
Yeah. And for me, it's always for a really specific reason. Like you kind of pummel yourself with the exact thing that you need, you know, like when you need a blank out, you do that. When you need to relax, you do that. When you need to be as up as high as you can, you do that. You know, when you need to be like hysterical with excitement, you listen to Robin. You know, like it's just you gotta give yourself exactly what you need. And for me, it's like that means listening to one song over and over for 5 hours. Like I fully listened to Let the Beat Build for like 5 hours today.
No, I feel you. My most memorable recent example of this was a few months ago. I think it was the end of maybe even like the fall. I really was having a hard day and I just like got in my car and I put on Welcome to the Party, RIP Pop Smoke.
Oh yeah.
And just like opened the windows, opened the sunroof and drove for like 90 minutes.
The best
like,
way to just, listen to any song. Just oh playing yeah.
That. Very cleansing. I came back. Like it was like, that's like my yoga. You know what I mean?
There's also albums that are good. You know, I've been doing some yoga at home and you know what else is really good for that?
Tell me.
The Blaze is so good for at-home yoga, you know?
I actually, that makes a lot of sense. All right. So now as we go out, tell the people what you want them to listen to in this time of challenge.
So for me, basically for a while now, my number one, like emergency medicine, this will do it song is that Christine and the Queen single, People Have Been Sad. It's like, oh my God, it makes me feel like I'm soaring, like I'm like turned into a little crystal that has little silk wings and I'm just soaring above the city. To me, she's been killing it lately. Like the song she did with Charlie last year was one of my favorites of last year. and Gone with Charlie XCX. And this one, it's just, it's, there's something, almost Prince-y about it. Like it's, and it's so, it's just so crystalline. It's so clear. The beat is so tight and it's sad, but it's super, super hopeful. And it's really cathartic. There's something about it. It fixes it every time.
That tug of war between the sadness and the catharsis is like extremely real in this song.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the people out there will appreciate it. Here's Christine and the Queens, People I've Been Sad. Gia, thank you so much. Stay safe. Wash your hands.
You too.
You know, Hanif, go ahead in the rain, a fortune for your disaster, vintage sadness for the real heads. You know, if you know, you don't know, go look it up. Hanif Abdurraqib is here. First off, man, where are you calling from? I've had a lot of Brooklyn today. Where are you calling from?
I'm an outlier then. I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
The city of the world. Yeah.
Shout out all Columbus Massive. Peace to Rob Harvilla. You know what it is.
Yeah. Shout out to Rob Harvilla who got ice cream with me last like fall when my book came out. We did like this weird ice cream tour. So shout out to Rob Harvilla.
When I finally do come to Columbus, I need to recreate that ice cream tour with y'all. That's what I need. So I'm just putting that
out.
It
was incredible.
There.
Yeah, I'd be down to do it again.
I'm ready. Like get the lactate on deck. Let's go. Let's do it. Obviously, the world is in a very challenging and fragile state right now. I wonder how you are processing using culture specifically. Like, is music a healing retreat for you or films? Like, what are the things that kind of make the days a little bit more tolerable for you?
I mean, for me right now, I think the ways that I'm using both music and film is as a tool to imagine something better beyond the current. Like I'm listening to a lot of Afrofuturism, which isn't totally out of the norm for me, but the length that I'm going to listen to it is pretty abnormal. I listen to a lot of Afrofuturism and even kind of in my digging through the crates of old funk, I'm hearing things I wasn't hearing before and messages in the songs. And so I think the state that we're in requires, at least for me, that even the consumption of my media or the consumption of my culture is lensed through crisis and an ability to survive crisis.
The words that keep coming to my mind when I'm thinking about, I mean, really all aspects of my life right now are urgency and ethics. Those are the two things that I find myself returning to over and over again. And that is culture consumption, that is personal responsibility, that is relationship to state power. It's all of these things. Those two words and frames of view really are how I'm trying to orient myself right now. And orient is really also a key way of describing it because everything else outside of that is disorienting. And music for me sometimes can almost be too distracting. Like something that I struggle with is like it transports me so far away from reality. And I'm having an interesting moment where I kind of don't want to lose total touch with reality. I want to feel the tension and the stress that I'm feeling. So I'm trying to find music that like affords some kind of balance there.
Absolutely. I've also been really into, I mean, this happened before the pandemic, but I've been really into making playlists. And there's something that I'm really falling into with that now. And I think it's about control, where within the framework of the playlist, I am in control. And outside of that world, I feel like I cannot control anything. And so I've gotten kind of obsessive about making playlists and not ascribing any hard rules to making them, just kind of like letting the songs tell me where they want to fall and then listening to the songs.
When you make playlists, I don't really make playlists typically, but when you make playlists, like, are you open to a little chaos within the playlist? Like, do you like, is you, okay. So within the context of the playlist, you're willing to have a little bit of chaos. Okay.
I think, I'm someone who, you know, anxiety rules my life, but I think within the context of a playlist, I the worst that will happen is I'll like, put a Paramore song next to like a like a ballad by U2, and then I get a little disoriented. That's not the worst feeling in the world. I didn't realize you didn't make playlists. Are you too good for playlists?
No, you know what it is? It's my relationship to music is so micro minute to minute that the idea of making a playlist that in any way feels predictive of what I might want to listen to 3 months from now or even 3 hours from now feels like a futile task. So I don't want to do the upfront labor of it only to feel like it doesn't reflect any emotional moment I'm about to have. Like, I'm very much like, I need this thing right this minute and I will go get that thing. And then that's that. If I had maybe more free time, I would do like historical minded stuff or whatever. But when it comes to like emotionally driven playlists, I'm just like, I need it right now. I'm going to press play. No complications. That, and also I was scared of Spotify for many years. So that's the other part. Hanif, what is the song you want the people to listen to and tell us why?
I've been listening to a lot of Juni Morrison. I've been listening to a lot of Ohio funk in general for no real reason other than that, you know, I stayed for the spring semester. I was teaching not in Ohio. And then I was kind of catapulted back to Ohio when the pandemic hit because this college closed down and all that. And so I think the way that I kind of like to feel grounded is, you know, to remember that I am from a place that built things that I enjoy. You know, I'm from a place that built many things I don't enjoy, but I'm also from a state that gave the world things that I really feel proud of. You know, I say that as I'm going to watch, not to plug Celeste Ng, but I'm going to watch that like Little Fires Everywhere joint on Hulu tonight. So yet another thing, yeah. Celeste Ng in Ohio. And, but I'm listening to Juni Morrison, and the album I'm listening to is Juni 5, which is Juni Morrison's fifth solo album. And the song on Juni 5 that I would recommend people listen to is Victim of Love, which is directly in the middle of the album. It's kind of a sad, urgent, there's that word again, sad, urgent, and frantic tune about losing control, but still having an immense amount of feelings.
Juni Morrison, Victim of Love. Hanif, thanks for calling in, man. Stay safe, stay healthy out there, and we'll check in with you soon.
Of course. Y'all be good. We'll talk soon. You were living there across the tracks. All my money was across my back. Oh, baby. Ha. Your old man said it wasn't right for me to be courting you day and night. Oh, baby. Get it. Don't give me no trial. Give me the vow.
Craft matters. In small ways, like how coffee is made, or how a wooden table is built, piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river, just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
It's time for my dear friend, my longtime friend, my beloved, Chris Ryan. Chris, what's good?
What's up, man? Thank you for having me.
A mightier podcaster than I is Chris Ryan, co-host of the Watch Pod, truly one of my oldest friends. And certainly a person who is going to talk to me about a rock musician probably that I am not that interested in, but I would love to hear what Chris thinks.
I understand why you would think that. John, first of all, it's great to be here on Popcast. Shout out to all the Popcast listeners.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's big professional podcaster energy you're bringing.
I know that you think I'm here to call you about like the Malcolmist solo record, which is very good. I want to kind of place this in reality a little bit, which is that it's been very like, you know, obviously isolating and alienating going through all this, as I'm sure everybody's experiencing, and everybody is trying to make sense of what's going on out there. So I'm trying to think of like the last good time I had, right? And the last good time I had was on Saturday night, where I just felt like, you know, we were already kind of under the self-imposed lockdown, but I just needed to get out of the house for a second. So I did what I rarely am able to do living in Los Angeles, which is take a solo drive. And I hit the streets. Now, I couldn't decide what to listen to because most of my podcasts have already transitioned to Corona talk. You know, like most of the pods that I'd like to listen to, or whether they're sports or culture, are all talking about how the virus is affecting their sort of topic. So I needed to get into my music, and I couldn't decide. I didn't want to get too in my feelings. And I did get into my feelings, but in a way that I highly recommend to anyone else. So the song that I want to talk to you about is from the 2006 Gangsta Grillz mixtape, In My Mind, the prequel, from Pharrell, hosted by DJ Drama. And the song is Come Go With Me, featuring Clips.
I just want you to know I just stood up. I stood up. Okay.
So this is Pharrell and Pusha and Malice rapping over Incarcerated Scarfaces by Raekwon. And I was just kind of like scrolling through my phone looking for something to listen to. And I came across this and I was just like, I just listened to the whole tape. I cannot recommend it more highly. It's basically just Pharrell rapping over classic hip hop songs. He does a bunch of Wu-Tang stuff, GZA records, Raekwon records. He raps over Paid in Full. He raps over Soundboy Burial. But my favorite song is definitely Come Go With Me. It's him rapping over Incarcerated Scarfaces from Only Built for Cuban Links. And it features probably my favorite Pusha verse, none of which is quotable right now, but feel free to play along. And I think the reason why I was so electrified by this, other than there is no better feeling than driving around listening to rap music by yourself, yes. Very, very loud, yes. As John Caramonica's right. Instagram story can attest to.
And that's right. Advertise it. Like and subscribe. You know the vibes.
And the biggest thing, though, is like on these tapes, because I've been listening to a bunch of Gangster Grillz tapes since then, mostly There Is No Competition 2 by Fabulous, The Currency One, very, very Terrace. There's just a bunch to just play. But
I feel like I need smelling salts when you said there is no competition too.
But there is a feeling of like you're having a party when you're listening to these, because there's like the drama ad libs are coming in. He runs back the song 30 seconds and lets it play again. And it kind of just like makes the music feel alive and makes your car feel full of your boys. And like, you're just listening to this song and be like, oh no, I have to hear the first 8 bars of this push of verse again. And I just really needed that lift, man.
I want to say, you know, I had an issue with the trunk of my car recently.
Oh, no. The beast.
I did. Yeah, exactly. And so I had to break the lock with a screwdriver. And so I broke the lock and I had to recover some things that were locked in the trunk. But a thing that was in the trunk that I had kind of forgotten was this bag. And in this bag is a bunch of CDRs. And what are those CDRs? They are Chris Ryan made road trip CDs.
Oh my God, are you serious? From
so
when?
I have a whole bag from probably around this time period.
Like 04 to 07, 06? Wow.
Yeah, So they probably need to be cleaned, but those have to probably get put back in rotation pretty soon. So the vibe that you are talking about is a vibe that I want to incorporate into my life.
Yeah,
as well.
There's tons of lists out there. Is it okay to say that the Gangsta Grillz tapes are available on datpiff.com, still one of the great websites?
Not only is it okay to say that, it is necessary to say
that. Yeah, it's really easy to find these tapes from Google. I highly recommend the Bun B Legend series. I highly recommend Dedication 2. I highly recommend Trap or Die.
Shouts to our New Orleans buddy, Bun B.
Yeah, man. So there's so many great tapes you could get. But yeah, the Pharrell one is incredible. It's just like
he's rapping so well. He's rapping so dirty.
And when he's rapping
dirty
bad,
rapping.
He's rapping well. Even when he's just like, I bought the Louis. You can call me Louis. It's just like, all right, man, sure. Whatever you want.
Pharrell was very officially on his 100 yachts right then. He was very much so. All right, here we go. Pharrell and the Clips, come go with me. Chris, it is my joy and my pleasure, as always.
Stay safe, everybody.
I'm dropping four.
I know how hustlers think, man.
Okay, real podcast heads, you will recognize this next voice. It's Ben Ratliff, OG, Daddy, Ben. How are you? Come here. Guide us in this time of crisis. What's up, man?
Hey, I feel that I'm with you.
I should hope so.
I feel that I'm with you physically.
To be honest, you should always feel like you're with me because I am always with you.
I see you before me. I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Ben, I have to be honest. I went to my library. I pulled down my inscribed copy of every song ever.
Right.
I flipped to the table of contents. Yeah. But I do not see a section for pandemic-induced panic as a theme. I don't see that chapter. I see other related issues. I see sadness. I see loudness. Feeling a lot of slowness. I see all that stuff. Not panic. Ben, what is the role of music in a broad-scale social crisis like this? Tell me about how you perceive the value of music and what kind of music is valuable.
The only way for me to start is just to talk about me for a second, and then maybe I can move toward what happens outside of me. I mean, I don't really do panic.
Okay.
I don't let it in the house.
Great.
And I don't really do, this is a weird thing to admit, but I don't really do, group sentiment in terms of like on a massive scale, you know, like I don't really want to take part in a massive feeling. I guess at this kind of moment, I really want to check in with myself and figure out what I need. I've been getting out to Van Cortlandt Park every morning and running for like an hour and listening to more music than I usually do. And it either tends to be really supple, whack you over the head hardcore, or jazz that keeps its wits about it and keeps a sense of equilibrium and a sense of play and can go as slow or fast as it needs to be, but isn't really going to be rattled.
Do you choose what you choose purely because of how those sounds or those ideologies calibrate you moment to moment?
Yeah, I think so. You mean in terms of staying in motion and everything? I mean, I cannot access shutdown. I cannot access bewilderment. What I'm really into right now is just feeling that I'm in control of the situation. I think maybe a lot of people might be able to relate to that.
Yes.
Because I don't know what the situation is. I don't know that any of us knows what the situation is. So I want to feel capable, you know, and I do think that certain kinds of music can make you feel capable and strong too.
You sent over a few songs. You want to talk about what you sent over, and then we'll pick one to listen to?
I think maybe the one that we should do is the Gene Ammons track. Gene Ammons was a tenor saxophone player. And this is a record from, I don't know, maybe 1958, just before we were told not to do social gatherings. We went for dinner, had dinner with our friends BG and Damien, and they put on a Gene Ammons record during dinner. And it was like, oh, I don't know who this is.
Why'd you let BG and Damien stunt on you like that?
Yeah.
Damn.
It was great. I had some guesses and they were wrong. So then they said it was Gene Ammons. And so I remember that week I was going to be, well, this is my week for Gene Ammons and Donald Judd. And then MoMA closed. So it was not the week for Donald Judd, but the Gene Ammons party continued. I think what I really like about Gene Ammons is that he's got a really beautiful tone and presence and rhythm, and he's just so there, and he's not necessarily the kind of musician who's like an innovator or somebody who's pushing the whole structure of music ahead or anything like that. It just, all that kind of stuff does not matter when you're listening to Gene Ammons. I think this is the kind of music I'm looking at right now, honestly. I'm not really worried about aesthetic challenges and you know, boundary breakages or anything like that. I just want people who are there and are capable and are really filling the zone and like can handle what life is all about. So that's Gene Ammons for me.
So what's the name of the song we're listening to?
It's called Blue Gene, and it's from a record of the same name.
Gene Ammons, Blue Gene, In the Zone. Ben Ratliff, always a pleasure, always a joy.
Great talking to you, John.
Justin, charity, podcast favorite. What's good, man?
You speaking with the Asiatic black man. How you doing? How's everybody doing? This is a weird time, John. I don't like it.
I don't like it, Nan, one bit.
I had a stomach virus. It's not going well for me. This whole quarantine situation.
You had an alternative virus. You had an alt virus.
I had an alt virus.
You are kind of an alt viral guy, TBH.
I'm a contrarian. It's true.
Yes. Alt viral. That's alt viral staff writer at The Ringer is what I think your official title is.
Yeah.
Justin, look, I want to talk to my friends, right? I'm at the house. I'm lonely. Like, I want to talk to my friends. Are you listening to music in the setup of the last week? Like, is music kind of like bumping in and out of your headspace, or are you avoiding it? Like, where are you at?
Oh, I'm definitely listening to music. I couldn't avoid music right now. What am I going to do? I mean, you think I just sit at home and play Rainbow Six Siege all day, and I do. But
yes.
You know, I'm also listening to the Uzi album.
That's big drip. Big drip is what that is. All your big gamer drip right there.
That's right.
So are you finding it healing? Because I'm intermittent with it, man. I got to be honest. Some days it's takes me out of my headspace in a good way. And some days it's like, it's too distracting. I feel like it's too much cut off from the world.
Yeah, it's only making me more stir crazy, to be totally honest with you. But in a way that I find addictive, in a way that all like music critics find addictive in a certain sense, right? Mm-hmm. It's just putting me more into myself in a way that is like frustrating. But I don't know, what isn't frustrating when you're being ordered to stay in your house?
Exactly. That's extremely accurate. So I, unlike many of the people who we're going to be talking to today, I know what song you're going to have us listen to. I know you're picking a Jay Electronica song. So
that's right.
Will you come and justify this for the people? Because
he said justify this. What is this, Joe Budden? Who am I talking to?
Wait, first of all, what is that? Does that make you, what's the other guy's name? Rory.
Oh. It's like Mal Rory. Wait, I forget who he was. I forget what the contours of that were. But my goodness. Like you said, no, you're dragging me into their beef.
Tell me this. Why Jay Electronica? Because I got to be honest, I listened to this song that you picked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this did not put me in a soothing mood. I'll be honest. No, it didn't.
Same. I mean, same. Really did not put me in a soothing mood.
Okay.
I'm going to be real. I had stopped caring about like the idea of this album like a solid 6 years ago.
Sure.
Absolutely. And even back during like Exhibit C, the sort of first wave Jay Electronica hype, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I'd like to see what this guy does with this. I was never super over invested in it either way. I think the album as released in a way feels, it has that weird quality where it sounds exactly like how you might imagine an album by this artist.
Of course.
Who is defined by these tropes and these idiosyncrasies would sound. Mm-hmm. And yet it sounds like better than its own stereotype in a way. It sounds a bit more, I don't know, like if you think about Jay Electronica during the years when he was just coasting on hype, he became so sort of unsubtle and obnoxious on social media and so kind of, I don't know, his hype just became oppressive after a point.
Yeah, and it was its own, that was the narrative at a certain point. Like, the music was not the narrative, strictly the kind of, the meta-narrative became the narrative with
him. And the narrative went from being a narrative to being a sort of punchline, honestly.
Yeah, true story. Especially when he started dating that British heiress.
The Rothschild, yes!
Yes, yes. I mean, that was a legendary time for the British tabloids.
It was. It really was. And yet the album seems to just ignore all of that in a lot of ways. I think a lot of the more irritating qualities in some of Jay Electronica's earlier rapping, his sort of constantly name-checking Puffy and Jay and being like, you know, I'm up next. That the sort of J. Cole qualities in Jay Electronica kind of get sanded off in the album. I'm just saying.
Well, he's had 10 years to do it. So I guess so let's announce to the people what you are going to heal them with in this time of national crisis. Well,
I don't know if I'm promising healing. I'm recommending the final song on A Written Testimony. The final song is called All Praises Due to Allah. It's a very sad song. It's both Jay-Z and Jay Electronica rapping over this song called A Hymn by Krangbin. You know, it's the song that Jay Electronica and Jay-Z recorded the day that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the folks on the helicopter died. And, you know, Jay Electronica is on the song rapping about his own mother's death. And it's this very slow, it's sort of like the emotional space and also just the rhythmic space that it puts Jay-Z in is very strange. It feels very un-Jay-Z. And yet it's the song on the album where Jay-Z feels like the most necessary, I think, in a lot of ways.
All right, well, let's get into it. So we're going to get into Jay-Elec, Jay-Z, Jay Charity, Jay Caramonica. My man, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, John.
I got numbers in my phone that I'll never ring again. Cause a lot of them sent them home and they'll never, I got numbers on my phone that'll never ring again. Cause a lot of them called them home. So until we sing again.
I knew in this moment, a person I had to speak with is Doreen Sanfelix. Doreen, talk to me. How are you?
Hi, John. I am so happy to be on this podcast. The Popcast.
That's correct.
For many reasons, mm-hmm. not the least of which is that I can now speak to someone today.
Oh, big
facts. You are the first person I've talked to.
Big facts. You know, I got to be honest, this is a pretense for me to catch up with people I care about. I'm not even going to try to be funny about it. This is a pretense for me to catch up with people I care about, hear voices, feel emotions,
right.
Feel the grain of the voice. So thank you for being a part of that. Doreen, if you don't know, is the television critic of The New Yorker. Okay. Anyway.
The rumors are true.
Doreen, I know music's important to you. And I know that we're in an absurd time in our global crisis. Is music, do you run to it? Is it a retreat for you? Do you do it to fight against stress? Do you use it to lean into stress? How does it kind of function for you?
So I've been having this personal crisis in this past week of increasing self-isolation where every day I go on my morning constitutional, you know, an hour-long walk. And during that's when I escape usually with my music. But in this era, my music is connected to my phone. And I just have this like this paradoxical state I've been in where it's like I want to go outside and completely disconnect from the internet. But the only way to do that is listen to music. But that music is issuing from this box that has become a source of existential despair for me in the past week. So it's been really hard.
Do I have to buy you a Discman? Is that what happens? I'm going to send you a Discman.
I think we're going back to the 90s.
Okay. I'm going to mark it down. Send Doreen Discman.
Thank you.
I'm going to take care of that. What kinds of stuff have you found yourself turning to when you've been able to lock in?
I've been turning to music that feels out of time.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Bembeya Jazz Nacional, which is a band from the Congo. There's this amazing album that came out in the 70s that I've been putting on as background noise while I work. And I've also been turning to film scores, which I know people do really often. Mm-hmm. I'd never really been that kind of person just because, I don't know, like I think of scores as being like eternally attached to the picture, you know, that was made for them.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Even when I have tried to listen to film scores independent of the film, all I'm thinking about is the narrative that's attached to these moments. And I'm not, you know, I'm not absorbing it. It's too dissociative.
It's like these emotional spikes sort of interrupt your experience of listening. But there is one score that came out last year that I actually don't have that experience with at all. It's a score to Atlantique. Mati Diop's film is actually on Netflix right now streaming. I know everyone listening has time to watch a new movie, and I highly, highly recommend that you watch that one.
Extremely beautiful film. Very beautiful film.
Evocative, ambient. There's something about the film that's just like really blue.
Well, I was going to say the colors of the film. It's so interesting that you that score is striking to you because this film to me was also so much about color.
Right. There's like this incredible image in the beginning of the film. It's really simple. It's just the vast expanse of the sky, meaning the vast expanse of the sand. You know, it's just beige and blue, but it's shot with such reverence and respect for nature. It's like one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
What is the song that you want the people to listen to?
It's Body Double.
Okay.
So I don't... It's called Body Double. I think it comes about 2/3 of the way through the score to Atlantics.
For a minute, I thought you were going to talk about like the Body Double film soundtrack.
Oh, we're not there yet.
We were doing a hard pivot.
Just give me 2 more days into this self-quarantine and things will get weird.
Okay. So Body Double from the Atlantic soundtrack. Tell us about that song as we check it out.
The soundtrack is mostly just ambient, but there is a bit of diegesis in some of the songs where you will hear the dialogue from the characters who speak Wolof, which is a Senegalese language. And I just love Body Double because it's so simple. It's like a very slow progression of the same notes over and over again. And behind those notes, you can hear like the hum of the ocean. And it's both soothing, but also a bit haunting. And I feel like that's the mood I'm trying to rest in during these days. I feel like there's such a compulsion and a fetish for distraction, for removing yourself from this world. But I feel like I need to remember every moment. I feel like I really need to archive this sensation because it's unprecedented, right?
Yeah. I was saying in another one of the conversations that in other contexts, I sometimes will use music as a kind of complete and total escape, like a full absorption. But that doesn't feel right in this moment. I feel like I cannot... It is wrong of me to check out. I should not check out.
Right. It feels unethical. I want to be able to, you know, for future generations, when they ask me, you know, what did it feel like on the 10th day of the pandemic arriving to American shores? Well, it felt like this. It felt like Body Double by Fatima Al-Khadiri.
Damn, you're good. Doreen, it is always a pleasure. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Talk to people. And I will check in with you soon.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
We are now going to check in with my guy, Eduardo Cepeda, music editor of Remezcla. Eduardo, tell me where you're at right now.
I am actually in my other apartment in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Oh, see, yeah, you got houses on houses. I forgot about that. You have a crash pad in every town. Eduardo's like, no Airbnbs for me. I just keep a spot. It's fine. It's no problem. what have you been listening to, broadly speaking? Like, how is music playing a role for you in like the last few days? Is it something you're frequently checking in with? Is it something that's you're kind of saving for like free moments? How are you kind of like interacting with it?
Given that I'm usually pretty like active and not at home much other than for basically sleeping, I've really neglected my record collection over the last few years. And so this has kind of been a bittersweet chance to get reacquainted with some of the vinyl that I've collected.
Interesting. And so is that something, do you do it with the family? Do you do it solo? Is it a private endeavor, or do you sort of like make it social, or as social as can be?
It's a little of both. You know, I used to DJ, so I still have a lot of like really good boogie records and stuff like that. That's more like a daytime thing. But I'll bust out some of the like rarer stuff at night, the stuff that I don't want anything to happen to, you know. So that's more.
Don't touch
for me.
My records.
Don't
touch my records.
I just pulled out this. I have a first pressing of the first 13th Floor Elevators record.
Ooh,
yeah, and it's still glossy. Like it's still glossy. It's from like what, 66, and it still looks like Ooh. That. So I've only played that about three times ever.
Sexy. Do you feel an impending awareness and sense of kind of the severity of what's going on? Has there been a musical response at all that you're seeing people kind of check in with, or does it still feel too new?
It was definitely a little bit delayed. I don't know if you saw Bad Bunny and Residente last weekend in a packed club, chugging
yes,
beers.
I did.
With everyone commenting like, no, go home.
Don't do it.
And now he's posting about staying home. And I really think it's funny that Darrell recently said, nobody go to the discotheque.
Well, I think you posted that on Instagram. You're like, finally.
Yeah. We needed to know what Darrell thinks about this.
Yeah. You know, an amusing thing that happens in a time like this is, you know, there are people I do genuinely would find it genuinely soothing to hear from. And then there are people who seem to think that I would find it soothing to hear right. from them. But that is not, in fact, the case. That's not, in fact, the case. I think before you're going to be out here offering guidance, maybe look in the mirror and be like, am I a person who people need to hear guidance from? Just something to think about. What is the song that you would like everybody to listen to? Tell me what it is, and let's talk about what it does for
okay,
you.
Okay, so let's talk about the opening song of El Lado Negro's last album, which is, the album's called This Is How You Smell, and the song is called Please Won't Please. I think it's the perfect, it's just a perfect song on its own, but it's also the perfect opening song for a record. And this album is basically adult lullabies, and I mean that in a good way. It's just one of the most soothing albums I've ever listened to. It's the most soothing El Lado Negro album. You know, it's a little stripped down. It's not as maybe active as some of his older stuff. And for purely for soothing comfort, like this album just kind of does it for me. And the opening song is just kind of like a great introduction to the whole, I guess, the whole concept of the album, which the review we ran on Remesca, which was written by Matthew Ruiz, actually described it as a Latinx manual for self-care. So I think it kind of fits.
Mm. And have you been using this song specifically? Does it function in a self-care way for you specifically?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's one of those songs that if you listen to that one, you're going to listen to the next one and the next one and the next one, and then maybe go through the whole album anyway.
So let's listen. A Lot of Negro. Please Won't Please. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Left town, an ocean on town. And orange won't let go.
I have been talking on this episode to many of my friends, and I have not known how they've been because I have not been able to talk to them. But our next caller, I definitely know how she's doing because I talk to her all the time. I talk to her daily, hourly, minutely. It's Karen Gans. Karen, tell me how your house. How's your house? How's Richard?
My cat is great.
Sorry, that's right.
My house is clean.
Mine is getting there. We're almost there.
Is it? I use those Clorox wipes to clean my house in the past month, and now I'm just like regretting every single wasted wipe. I shouldn't have cleaned anything before
that's right.
this thing started.
That is correct. That is accurate. Karen, we've been working from home for the last few days.
Yep, they call that WFH, John.
Sure, they certainly do. They certainly do. And can you just talk a little bit about what it's been like supervising the coverage over the last few days? Because it's obviously the things that we've been covering and the way we've been covering them have been pretty different from the ordinary rate and style of business.
Yeah, I think we're still in the like triage part of everything. Last week was a little wild for the culture desk at large, as every cultural institution seemed to shut down or cancel everything on Thursday. Thursday was the day that everything turned. And I would like be working on something. I'd come back to Slack and there had been like 60 messages of other things that had shut down. It was really pandemonium. Our desk is amazing. Everyone really came together.
And shouts to Ben Cesario, who was on our previous episode, but shouts to Ben Cesario.
Yes, Ben very quickly reported on, you know, sort of like shutdown of the touring industry. So in the past few days, I've basically been like, what story should we be doing right now? And what can we salvage from what we had planned for the upcoming weeks and months? Right. So I'm still in that phase of things. But I think, you know, that we have the benefit of being at home with a large amount of music, a lot of music libraries, books, films, streaming services at our fingertips. So I am confident that the pop music team will come together, John, and we will continue to win.
That's right. That's right. Say it louder.
It's inspired by you.
Exactly right. I mean, how can I argue with that? There's no arguing with that.
And by win, I mean entertaining our readers and making sure that they have things, you know, to distract them from extremely dire circumstances and a lot of stress.
By winning, I mean winning. So,
yes.
Karen, I know a lot about your musical tastes, about your musical peccadillos. I know a lot. So I'm sort of curious to know, I had asked you to think of a song that either helps you get through tough times or puts you in a good mood. I have a feeling I might know the rough area that you're going to, but I'm wrecked to be surprised.
I was wondering if you were going to be able to guess.
I don't want to guess. I feel like if I guess, I don't want to like, I just feel like I want the pure hit of hearing it come out of your mouth.
Okay. I don't think you're going to be surprised.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think you will.
Okay, go for it.
The year is 1991.
Woo!
The state is Georgia.
Woo!
The city is Athens. Are we getting warm?
God.
Do you sense where I'm going here? But I'm not going where you think I'm going. I think you think I'm going to track 6, but I'm going to track 4. I'm talking about...
Say it loud.
We're on REM's Out of Time, and we're talking about the song Near Wild Heaven.
Can I say two things about REM before you go in? One, and I actually told you this story maybe like not that long ago, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. The kid who was the editor of the art section of my college newspaper, who was like my editor, like was either like the proprietor or the founder of the first REM fan website in like the mid 90s. So that's one thing. The second thing is early in my time at the paper, I reviewed REM at the Garden, and I like REM, but as you know, I am not deeply passionate about REM. And I spent, you will appreciate this, I literally spent one full day listening exclusively to REM, old to new, strictly to get in the headspace to be a faithful critic of that show.
That's so, just a day in the life for me, John. I do that all
the
time.
No, I know. I know. I don't want to pat on the back. I'm just saying, yeah. I want you to know that I took the task seriously.
Well, I appreciate that. REM was my first favorite band. In 1991, I turned 14. So I came to this album when I was like probably 13, 14 on the cusp there. And I went backwards from there into the REM catalog. But this was my entry point. I'm not ashamed to say it's because Losing My Religion was a radio hit, and I liked it from WDRE 92.7.
Yeah, no judgments. No judgment. Yep. We find things when we find them. It's all good.
The songs that I like the best on Out of Time have backing vocals or featured vocals from Kate Pearson from the B-52s.
Yeah.
And something else that's very special about Near Wild Heaven is it's got a lot of vocals by Mike Mills, unheralded member of REM, but arguably my second favorite member of REM. It's hard to rank them. There's 4. They're amazing. There is something very chipper and uplifting about this song. I'm not really sure what it's about. I went back and I looked at the lyrics knowing that we were going to have this conversation. And I'm not sure, like many REM songs, if it's about anything specific. Near Wild Heaven doesn't sound great. It doesn't sound like it's actually heaven. But there, I mean, it's just, you know this song. It's very charming and upbeat. It's a pick-me-up. It is my happy place. This one and Me and Honey, the song that really features Kate Pearson, another one too. But I remember being 13 or 14 and trying to learn guitar to these songs. And picking out the little Peter Buck parts, which are kind of arpeggiated. Everything about it makes me happy. I'm going to put it on when I go for my daily constitutional after this chat.
And when you listen to this episode, you're going to hear it again. So let's listen. This is Near Wild Heaven by REM. Let's take Karen back to when she was 13, and let's take me back to 8 years ago when I last thought about this song.
You should think about it more often, John.
Sorry, I have a lot on my mind.
Yeah.
Whenever we hold each other,
checking in next, it's the boy Yo Phillips. Yo is a staff writer at DJ Booth. If you're not familiar with Yo, get familiar. Man, what's good? Where are you at right now? Where am I calling you at?
I'm in Atlanta, John. I'm in Atlanta on the outskirts on the south side, hanging.
What's the energy right now where you're at?
I have to admit, I wasn't in Atlanta for a couple of days. So I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma for 4 days.
Okay.
Right before the NBA shut down. So when I left, it was cool. I feel like everyone had a different perspective about the virus. And when I got back, completely different energy. I feel like I came back from like almost like war or something. Like I was gone long enough for it to be a shift in complete energy. Like even the way I spoke to my Uber driver had different complaints than the one that took me to the airport. Yeah, I got taken to the airport and my Uber driver, he's sending me like conspiracy theory videos on YouTube, and I get back and my Uber driver is complaining about Final Four and complaining about the NBA and complaining about his business not being able to deliver food to hotels because hotels are closing down. Like I literally felt a shift in energy. In conversation and everything. So I'm coming back home and it feels like a different world. So I've been like adjusting to that in a very weird way.
In times of turmoil or crisis, I'd love to hear about how does music function for you? And one thing that I think always strikes me about the writing that you do is I feel like it comes from a place of emotion. You really are investing your heart into the way that you write about hip hop. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more about that, broadly speaking. How does music function for you in tough times?
Well, the way music functions for me in all times is from a very personal place. Like I grew up around it in a very specific way because my parents, they own a skating rink. So we grew up around hip hop music in a very specific space. So it was always kind of like a getaway where people come to have a good time. So music for me has always been joyous. It's always been an escape, the same way skating is an escape. Oh yeah, it's called Skate Zone on Mount Zion Boulevard. Yeah, it's cool. I think we're going to have our last day open tonight. Yeah, like after this, all the skating rinks in Atlanta are closing except for us and Cascade right now. So it is already crazy from that aspect as well. But for me, music has always been an outlet for joy. And for just any kind of emotion. So even in times like this, it's very natural to start finding the albums or start finding the artists who are going to help you get through this time. And that's something I've been slowly doing since I've been back home.
So tell me a little bit about what you found yourself gravitating towards.
Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean to me represents duality. Frank is never just one emotion. He gives you everything, which is why I like a song like Pink and White, which is beautiful. The cinematicness of that song is scored to feel like bliss, but he's singing about how it's all downhill from here. You know, like that duality there is what I like. I like the gravity of Frank. He never lets us get too high to like we never touch the sun with Frank. He keeps you on earth, but he makes you feel good, right? He makes you feel good about the situation. Regardless if you're in love or the love is unrequited, he makes you feel good about the circumstances. Because Frank knows that these circumstances will pass. Yeah, he knows these circumstances will pass, and it's about acknowledging.
It's a balm. And the thing with Frank is it's interesting because you talk about duality, and I sometimes think about it in terms of deceptiveness. And I don't mean that with a negative connotation, but I mean like it's almost like a head fake. He'll put you in an emotional mood, in a physical mood almost. And then once your ears perk up and really lock in with what he's talking about, it's like almost disruptive. This thing you've been like swaddled and like nurtured into this space. And then you start listening closely and you're like, oh, what? Oh, it's not okay? It's not what?
Oh. Exactly. And his energy doesn't change. Like, he doesn't reveal these things to you in a way that makes you feel it. Like, his voice doesn't change. Like, the tone doesn't change. But the words tell you everything. Mm. And that's what I love about Frank.
Oh, so true. Because
it's all about the words. And, you know, I can find some comfort in his honesty and his candor. And I can look at the world around me and not become disillusioned by it. You know, like, he keeps me grounded. And he also reminds me that this too shall pass.
Which is the song that you want us to listen to today?
Pink and White. Pink and White, yeah. It is on his classic album, Blonde. There's some Beyonce vocals on there. I think Pharrell made the beat. It's a beautiful song, but it does not allow you to forget. Oh, yeah, man, like, it's a star-studded record. It's a beautiful song. And then you almost forget all these pieces are a part of this song. That's another thing I love about Frank, too, is he never allows the features or the collaborators to be the giants. He's always the giant in the room.
That's right.
And as the giant, he's going to get us through this time.
All right. So we're going to take a swim in Frank Ocean right now. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, fam.
No, thank you for having me, man. I hope we get a chance to do this again.
That's our show. Thank you for riding with me. Thank you for riding with all of us. Thank you to all of our guests. Thanks to Hanif, Ben, Doreen, Justin, Eduardo, Gia, Danielle, Chris, Yo, and Karen. Thanks to Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media, who has been doing yeoman's work, piecing together this complicated puzzle this week, and presumably the complicated puzzles of weeks to come. Listen to every podcast ever, nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to podcast anywhere audio is available. Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher, etc. Email us, podcast@nytimes.com, to talk about what music is doing for you right now. And also, if you're not on the Facebook group, there's NY Times Podcast Facebook listener group. Sam is holding it down as the admin. Very much obliged to Sam. Check in with us. Get involved with the group. I jump in there and talk to folks. It's a good time. Our producer, again, Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We will be back next week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way every day goes. Every time we've no control. If the sky is pink and white, if the ground is black and yellow, it's the same way you showed me. Nod my head, don't close my eyes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.